Today, Shavuos Vetamuz is the beginning of the intense Drei Wochen, the 3 weeks of mourning over the Churban. It is by no means the beginning of our Avelus, because we are supposed to be Misabel over the Churban every day and every night, 24/7, as it says in the very first siman of Shulchan Aruch, Roy lechol yirei shemayim liyos meitzar v'doyig al haChurban tamid. The very beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Aruchayim, is that it is appropriate, it's the right way, that any person who considers himself to be a Yirei Shemayim, heaven-fearing, should have pain and concern over the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Pain, Meitzar V'doeg, Meitzar, pain over what already has happened, because Churban does not merely mean what happened some 2,000 years ago. Churban means everything that has evolved subsequently. Every tragedy in Jewish life in the last 2,000 years starts with the Churban, and if an Arab bulldozes three Jews to death a scant 2 weeks ago in the streets of Yerushalayim, in a cold-blooded, chilling fashion, that is also part of the Churban. Churban was not a one-time event. The Churban is an ongoing dynamic, which is continuing now for 2,000 years, and continues every day in Eretz Yisrael, and continues every day in Golus, and where there's still acts of violence against Yidden, which are happening, unfortunately, that Churban is still continuing. So the Meitzar, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, is over the past, and Doeg, and one should worry, means to worry for the future, that we have to realize that there is no future for us in Golus. The Golus is doomed. We are doomed that whatever has happened in every past Golus will happen again right here in this country, in this blessed, beautiful country, which is the best Golus ever. We are doomed that the atrocities and the eventual collapse of everything we have built here, it's inevitable. That's what Golus is. Golus is a deck of cards, a house of cards. It must collapse. And as our great President Lincoln once said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So too, any house that the Jews build in Golus cannot survive by definition. Golus is by definition flimsy and temporary and a test of us, a test of our faith. So we should be worried and concerned. That's the very opening words in the very first siman of Shulchan Aruch, after the Mechaber tells us, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Shamit, a Jew has to have God in front of his eyes at all times, and recognize that that which is invisible to our eye of flesh and blood is more real than that which we sense with our sense of vision and the other of the five senses. So the Golus, although with our visual eyes looks very strong and powerful, and we're building and we have a Torah triumphalism, and every day, every week, it's not an exaggeration, every week some new yeshiva or kollel opens up, and the numbers are amazing. Nevertheless, it's all a house of cards. The Vilna Gaon in the Groh, quoted here at the end of the Safra Ditznyusa. The Safra Ditznyusa is the essence of the Zohar, and the Groh has a perish on it. And at the end is printed some Likutei HaGroh, and the Groh says, he gives this definition of what Golus is. He says, "Kimi eish shecharav abayis." From the time of the Churban, Yotza ruchenu, ateres roshenu, v'nisharnu rak anachnu, hu guf shela b'loy nefesh. From the time of the Churban, the soul of the Jewish people has left the body of the Jewish people, and we're like a body without a soul. We are a dead corpse. That was at the time of the Churban. So the Churban in the year 68 of the Common Era, some 1940 years ago, left us as a nation dead, without a life, a lifeless nation. But that's just the beginning. Says the Gra, the Yitzhiya L'chutz La'aretz, who are kever. When the Jews were just taken out of the country after the Churban, that the chutz la'aretz, golus, is like the grave. So that lifeless body, we know that death is just the beginning. The lifeless body is then placed in the grave, and that's chutz la'aretz. So this is a grave. If someone asks you where you live in a graveyard. It's not just down the corner down there, or the other side of Viola. The Beis Olam is right. Every place in Golis is a kever. And there's Rima Mesevevis Aleinu, and all of the of our enemies around us are like the worms and the rot in the kever. And just as a dead body is helpless and has no ability to defend itself from the worms and the rot that inevitably consume and devour the flesh in the grave, so too we should not fool ourselves that we have some clout and we have political action and lobbies and influence and money that can save us from the rot which surrounds us and wishes to devour us. However, says the Gra, even though the Jews in Chutz La'aretz were in the grave, we still had Chaburais, the Yeshivas Gedoilais. There was still some hope because there were great yeshivas in Bavel and there were great yeshivas in Europe as well. Really great yeshivas with great Gaonim and Rishonim. However, those too have been destroyed. Achanirka v'abasar v'atzamais nifsaru pizur achar pizur. So the Gra says that in the grave, originally when a body is put into the grave, the flesh and the bones are still intact. But then later on, as the rot continues, the flesh and the bones start to fall apart. So we, as long as there were still yeshivas, gedolos, serious, highly structured yeshivas, with serious Torah learning, then at least we had, the body was not yet devoured. But in time, those great yeshivas were destroyed. And so now that's just left is like, the flesh has been eaten away, the bones are scattered all about, but the bones represent individual Talmid Chachamim. Shehein HaTalmid Chachamim Yisrael, Mamidei Aguf. From the end, Nirkavu Atzamas Eilu. And then we don't even have any more today that the Vilna Gaon speaking, a little over 200 years ago, Zot the Gra, that we don't really have these firm, solid, bone-like Talmid Chachamim with a bone, with a backbone. They also have been devoured, and the only thing that's left now is a tarvet rekev. We just have a little bit of dust, a little bit of bone dust left over, and there's really nothing left of us. And there's nothing for us to hope for now except for tchias hamesim, hisnari miyofer kumi, as the Navi Yeshaya says, hisnari miyofer kumi, shake off the dust and arise from the dirt and from the earth. The Yare Ruach Mimor Malaynu, we're waiting at Tchias HaMesim. There's no hope for us except for Tchias HaMesim with Bias HaMashiach. This is the Gra's view of our situation. The whole year, we allow ourselves to look at things with our visible eyes, that which is visible, and we allow ourselves to be somewhat deceived that all is well. But the Gra reminds us that all is not well. And Shivas Ratamas reminds us all is not well. And Tisha B'Av certainly reminds us that we need a Tchias HaMesim. The Gemara tells us in Brachas, the Gemara sums up what Golus is, so the Gemara in Brachas, Dav Gimel. Tanya, it's a Tosefta. Amr Rav Yaisi, the Heiligatan Rav Yaisi said, Pamachas Isi Mahalich V'derech, once I was traveling, V'nechnasti L'churva Achas Michorvais Yushalayim L'espalel. And I had a daven. So I entered one of the ruins of Yushalayim after the Churban to daven. Rav Yaisi was obviously a very great man, because Bo Elio Zachur La'toiv, V'shamar li ala Pesach ad shesiyamti tfilasi. Elio HaNavi himself came down to speak to me, and he was waiting for me. Elio waits for him till I finish davening. And after davening, the Gemara records their conversation, their dialogue. And finally, the Gemara sums it up and says, Omar li Elio said to me, Bini, ma koil shamata b'chur v'zu. What exactly did you hear? I'm sure you heard something in this ruin. Did you hear some heavenly voice in this ruin of Yushalayim? V'amarti loy, I, Rabbi Yossi, responded to Eliyahu HaNavi. I said, Rabbi, shamati baskol sheminahemes kayoina. I heard a heavenly voice cooing and moaning like a dove, which coos when it loses its mate. And the dove in this plaintive crying voice says, Oy labonim shaba v'naseyem hechrafti es beisi v'sarafti es eicholi v'glisim lebein umais. The heavenly voice said, I, Rabbeinu Shlom, the Father in heaven, woe unto my sons that because of their sins I was forced to destroy my house. The Beis HaMikdash is after all God's house. Sarafti es eicholi, I burnt my inner chamber, and I had to be gola, I had to exile my own children amongst the nations. This, says Rabbi Yaisi, is the voice of the dove, of the crying dove, that I heard inside this Chorva of Yushalayim. I heard the voice of the Shekhinah Kaviyachal mourning. Eliyahu HaNavi responded to me, Omar Li. He said to me, Rabbi Yaisi, Chayecha, by your life, the Chaye Reshecha, in the life of your head, Lo Yishazu B'vadim Eres Kach. Don't think that this is a unique thing that you heard, only you heard at this moment, but rather, the Kol Yayim V'Yayim, Shalosh Pa'amim, every day, three times a day, every time when Yidden gather in Shul to daven Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, this is what the Shekhinah says. And evidently, if you and I were listening properly, and you and I were really pained and concerned over the Churban, we would hear this as well. Because it could very well be that Rabbi Yaisi, when he says he went into one of the Churvas Yushalayim, the Churva itself, maybe they were rebuilding Yushalayim. The Gemara says, actually, you have to be careful not to go into a destroyed place. They told him, don't go into a destroyed place. But the fact is that every place in Yushalayim, even a built place, is a Churva, as we shall see. So Rabbi Yaisi, number one, said, I heard this, and Leo says, yes, good. But don't think you're unique. If you went into any place, any shul in the world, which is not Chorev, which is built, and you would daven properly, you would hear this voice. That would mean that you're really from the Avoli Yushalayim. You what a Jew should be. You'd be mourning over Yushalayim. Because if someone asks anyone here, what are you doing all day? What do you do? Learning, davening, making brachas, yeshiva bacher, yeshiva man. The response should really be, I am in Golus. I am a Golus Jew. Who am I? I am a wandering Jew. I'm a wandering Jew. I'm a cursed Jew. Yirmiyahu says it. And Yirmiyahu, who was born on Tisha B'Av, and he wrote the Eicha of Tisha B'Av, says, Ora yom yuladeti bo, cursed be the day that I was born. And everything that emanates from Tisha B'Av, which is our entire Golus, is cursed. So we are wandering Jews, cursed Jews. But no one wants to hear that. No one likes to feel that way. It's very hard things to hear. It's very harsh. Who wants to hear that? So we're all looking to somehow mitigate and soften this decree. Who wants to be considered a wandering Jew? I want to feel I'm permanent. Who wants to feel that I'm a chaste, near duff, that I'm running from my own shadow, as it says in the Teichach? Who wants to feel that way? That's a very, in common terminology, that's a wimpy thing. We have to be strong. We have to be heroic. We have to be self-protective, self-sufficient. I don't want to be the caricature of the wandering Nebuch Jew with a sack over his back, wandering around, insecure, cursed, despised. But whether we like it or not, that is what we are. And anything else we look like is mere masquerade. It's just cosmetic. We've just put some cosmetics on. It's just makeup. It's perfume. It's a masquerade. It's a Purim spiel. We are in Golus. It is what it is. In Golus, we're in the grave, and we're rotting in the grave. Azoizak the Grah, and that's what the Baskel is telling us, that we're despised by our own father. And the Yoh Navi says further, he says, not just this moment, but b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, shalosh pa'amim oimeres kach v'kach. This is what it says, the following. When Yisrael are nechnas in lebatik nesiyas and batim edrashos, when you didn't get together in shul or in the yeshiva or beis medrash, and they answer sincerely that our reason why we want to get out of Golus is Yehei Shmei Agadol Mevorach, which means Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach L'Olam L'Olmi Omaya. Our goal in Golus is that when we were in Eretz Yisrael, we squandered our opportunity to sanctify God's name. We forgot that Amzu Yotzarti Liti Losi Yisaperu. The only reason why God chose us is to tell the world the glory of Hashem, not the glory of the Jews. Hashem didn't tell us that we're glorious Nobel Prize winners, that we're great financiers, and we're great with money and with chemistry and physics and every other pursuit in the world. Hashem created our nation to tell the world of His greatness and to sing Hashem's song, and that we should know Hashem's essence in the core of our being. So when Yidden come to shul three times a day, and in a small way, we recapture our divine mission and our destiny as it should have been in Eretz Yisrael, then what happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mananei Rosh Hashem shakes his head. Fortune is a king who is praised like this in his house. But Nebuch, a father who has sons like this and had to exile them. And worst of all, woe unto sons who behave so poorly that they're exiled from the table of their own father. Can anyone imagine your children, you fly them in for Yom Tov, prepare a beautiful Seder for your children, go to great expense, set up the rooms for them, make a wonderful table for them and your children and grandchildren, and you're waiting for your children in Einiklach for Yom Tov. And at the table, at the Seder table, they behave so horrendously that a father would feel compelled to throw his children off of his table on the Seder night and banish them from his house, men, women, and children, sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters, and tell them, get out of my house. I don't want to see you again until I call you. Get out of here. You're not welcome. Out. Can you imagine the pain of the father and the pain of the children? And that's exactly what our matzav is today. Oy lebonim shegalu mal shulchan aviyam. And that should be the refrain that we hear. And if we say, amen yesh merabah, v'kol koichenu, if we say this glorious proclamation with all of our strength, as the halacha says we should do. The Gemara says Hashem rips up a gzar din of 70 years, which 70 years represents galus. That means if we would be saying Amen Yesh Merabah properly, which is a commitment, our mission statement of what we are, then we would hear this basko. And when we hear this basko, we would know that we have succeeded on our personal level in mitigating the power of that edict and that curse, and bringing ourselves individually and Klal Yisrael collectively one step closer to Gula. And if we don't hear this basko, when we say Amen Shvei Rabbah, that means we have to do a better job, and we have to say Amen Yei Shvei Rabbah more sincerely, like we really mean it, that my goal in life is totally l'shem, I want the glory of God. I want to get back there to Israel, not because I'm a patriot and a nationalist. I might feel maybe it's safer there. I like to be with my people. I like Israeli food. I like falafel. I want to go back there to Israel. That's not the reason. The only reason to get there to Israel is that Churban is a Chilul Hashem. The Navi Yecheskel, constant refrain in Yecheskel is, there's no bigger Chilul Hashem than the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Golus of Klal Yisrael. The fact that God's chosen nation and God's chosen children is the cursed, wandering, insecure Jew to this very day, there is no greater Chilul Hashem. There is no greater desecration of Hashem's name. That the people who represent Him are despised and cursed and hated. And that should be our tsar. And if it is our tsar, it'll be solved. It will be discontinued. No question about it. We'll have a tchiyas ha-meisim. Let me tell you how powerful this pull of the Beis HaMikdash is. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, just as the sun is the center of gravity for the entire solar system, and the sun's gravitational pull, because of its incredible mass, is so strong that it has a gravitational pull not just on the Earth, which is a mere 93 million miles away, but it has a gravitational pull on planets much further away, hundreds of millions of miles away, at the very perimeters of the solar system. Tiny little planets, the Uranuses and the Pluto, we're not even sure if it's a planet. And the same way that the sun has this unbreakable power over all the planets in its kingdom, so too the Beis HaMikdash keeps every Jew in place. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, Jews didn't wander. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, a Jew knew where his heart was, a new Jew what it means to be a Jew, what his purpose in life was. The greatest tsar of the Golus really is this insecurity, not insecurity because I'm afraid that some enemy might hurt me or destroy me. One of the curses of Golus, your life will be in suspense, means I don't know who I am and what my purpose in life is. And I come to yeshiva, I learn the emes of Torah, and I'm finally, it's revealed to me what it means to be Jewish and what my heritage is and what Torah is, and yet I don't know what to do with my life. Where should I go? What should I do? I still have doubts. I can be in yeshiva for 20 years and still have doubts. That's all the Golus syndrome. And that's the curse of Golus. Terrible thing, not to know, not to commit oneself. If a person commits himself to a mission and to a goal, and it's clear what I want to do in this life for the glory of God, that individual is an invincible, indomitable force that cannot be stopped. Nothing gets in his way. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, every Yid knew clearly what I'm here for. And they served Hashem with a clarity and with a forcefulness, a definite, it was clear. It was clear as daylight to them and others watching them. This is what a Jew is, and for this I was created. Amzu yatzarti li, tilasi yisaperu. In Golus, we're just clouds floating in the sky, blown by every ill wind. Let me tell you about the power of the Beis HaMikdash even today to attract. I heard this story from Rabbi Eliezer Sirotskin, cousin of ours, who is the head of Lev La'achim, heard the story many, many years ago, about 11, 12 years ago. He told me the following, that in Israel, unfortunately, just as insidious and dangerous it is that there are Arabs who want to kill Jews physically, there's another great danger about Arabs who kill Jews spiritually. There are many secular Jewish girls, unfortunately, who are so rootless and clueless as to what it means to be Jewish, that many of these Arab workers who work in Eretz Yisrael, they're very sly and very clever and very seductive. And they're waiters, they're menial workers. And they hop on to a Yiddish mädel, and they sweet talk them, they're very good sweet talk. And they seduce them to come to their villages, and ultimately they marry them, Rahman al-Islam, and have children. One such a young lady, her name was Shoshana Baran, and this Shoshana Baran was seduced by an Arab named Mohammed Sanjek. And she went to live with him in Jordan, and they had two daughters. One's name was, the father gave one name, and the mother gave a different name, Anderzach. The father gave his nice Arab name, Nufa. And the mother, the Yiddish lady, Shoshana was her name, she gave her new daughter a name, Yafa. The second girl, Mohammed Sanja, called her Shalom. And the mother, the Jewish mother, called her Shuli. Both girls spoke fluent Hebrew and Arabic. And they were brought up in the Arab village. Now, talking over here, in the late 1970s, this is happening, that in the late 1970s, when the first terrorist attacks in Yerushalayim was in Kikar Tzion, where an Arab brought in a refrigerator packed with explosives, he left it on Kikar Tzion, and it blew up, and it killed Neva 13 Yidden. Long time ago this happened, 13 Yidden. And who was one of the terrorists who brought in that refrigerator? None other than this Mohammed Sanjik, who was married to a Yiddish mädel, Shoshana Baron. He was sentenced to jail. He was sentenced to jail. But in 1980, he was released in an infamous exchange of prisoners called Iskat Jibril, because there was called the Jibril deal, because Arafat's second in command, named Jibril, he was the one who negotiated this entire deal that six Israeli soldiers captured in Lebanon were released for 1,000 terrorists. Among them, many of them with blood on their hands, like this Mohammed Sanjek, who had packed explosives and destroyed 13 Yiddish lives. Six soldiers for 1,000 terrorists. Meanwhile, his daughter, Jewish daughter, Yafa, is growing up. And Yafa sees in the paper an ad that in Tel Aviv, there's a lot of companies now opening up import-export businesses with Jordan, because the borders to Jordan were open. Still are, as far as doing trade. So they needed somebody, a secretary who was bilingual, who could speak Arabic and Hebrew. So she was perfect. She's absolutely, totally fluent in Arabic and totally fluent in Hebrew. She applies for the job, she receives, gets the job, and she moves from Jordan to Tel Aviv. Once she's in Tel Aviv, Israeli territory, as a good Arab, she has a responsibility to go visit the holy city, Jerusalem, which she does, and you have to visit all the holy shrines, like the Mosque of Omar and the Dome of the Rock. You have to visit all these holy shrines of Islam. So one day she takes a bus to Shalayim, and she's walking through the old city, trying to get through to the Har HaBayis, and suddenly she comes to a fork in the road, and she sees a sign says one way to the Dome of the Rock, and a sign the other way says to the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, the Kotel HaMaravi. And suddenly, she is in a quandary, because the Arab in her, the Nufa, hears a voice saying, Nufa, Nufa, come to the Dome of the Rock, come to the Shrine of Islam. You're an Arab girl. But there's another aspect of her personality, is the Yafa in her, and the Yafa in her is dragging her and drawing her to her real identity, which is Yafa. She's Jewish. Her mother is Jewish. She's Jewish. And she's torn. Mamash doesn't know which way to go. And she came to Yerushalayim to go to the Dome of the Rock, but there's a sign, the Kaisel Maravi. And she's a terrible quandary. Two voices screaming, Nufa, Yafa, Yafa, Nufa. But ultimately, she's a Jewish girl, and the Yafa wins out over Nufa, and she goes to the Kaisel instead of the Dome of the Rock. And at the Kaisel, as you well know, there's always people on the lookout for lost souls, and someone comes over to her and brings her to a Jewish youth hostel, and she becomes a nice, frum young lady. And she has severed ties with her family, with her father for sure. And she told Rabbi Sirotskin, who's involved in this, who told me the story, that now she's a seminary girl, she's Jewish, and she wants to marry Ben Tyra, and she dafka wants to have a very big family. Why do you want a big family? Must have a big family. How big? Rabbi, I have to have at least 13 children to make up for the 13 Jewish souls that my father, the Arab Mohammed Sanjuk, destroyed. I have to be a tikkun for that. And I have to bring at least 13 Yiddish neshamas into the world to make a tikkun for that. But what brought her back? What brought her back? The Kaisel, the Srid base Mikdashenu. The little bit that's left of the base on Mikdash was enough to take this very lost, very confused Jewish soul and bring her back to Yiddishkeit. This is just a little bit of what we lost when the base of Mikdash was Charev. We don't know who we are. We don't feel the Rabbanu Shlomo inside of us. We don't feel the Beis HaMikdash inside of us. Every one of us is a mini Beis HaMikdash. Every yeshiva is a mini Beis HaMikdash. It says, that's why you're so lucky here in the yeshiva, because it says in Eich, I believe it's Perek Gimel, right in the beginning, it says, Tishtapechna Avne Kodesh, B'Roish Kol Chutzais. The holy stones just flew out and poured down at the top of every place in Chutz Laretz. Tishtapechna Avne Kodesh B'Roish Kol Chutzais. And the Sforim say what that means is that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it wasn't merely consumed in fire, but rather it was a huge explosion. And the explosion destroyed all the stones of the Beis HaMikdash, and tens of thousands of stone fragments just flew throughout the world. Tishtapechna Avne Kodesh, and they fell B'Roish Kol Chutzais. Every place where a stone fell, on that spot in Chutz Laretz, a shul or a yeshiva was built. And it became the Roish Kol Chutzais, the top place in Chutz Laretz. So, right here underneath this Beit Medrash, some place, if we dug deep enough, and here in Rockland County, there's enough indigenous native stones, but there's one stone that's not native to this county of Rockland. There's one stone that comes from the Beis HaMikdash, from Tishtapechna Avne Kodesh B'Roish Kol Chutzais. And that fragment of the Beis HaMikdash is what draws us all back and brings us back to our Shayrish and Neshama. And we remind ourselves whenever we come here to say Amen Yesh Mi Rabba, we hear the Baskol saying, Oy Lebonim Shagolum Al Shulchan Aviyam, woe unto the children who are exiled from their father's table, which is the Beis HaMikdash. And to the extent that we mourn over this, and we want to hear the Baskol, and we want to say Amen Yesh Mi Rabba properly, and we want to be positive about our destiny and our mission, to the extent that we're dedicated ourselves to our mission, to be Mar B'Kvayt Shemayim, and Amzu Yatzarti Liti Losi Yisaperi, to sing the praises of God to our fellow Jews and to all the nations, to the extent that these days of mourning bring into us a simcha. I think it was the Lechevich Rebbe who on Tisha B'Av, he used to dance on Tisha B'Av. He said, Rebbe, dancing on Tisha B'Av? It's a day of mourning. He said, Avad is a day of mourning, but it's a mitzvah to mourn on Tisha B'Av. Yeah, yeah. Well, a mitzvah has to be done by simcha. So I'm dancing, and I'm doing the mitzvah. So even though it's a zman of korban and destruction, heilige tzaddikim dance because it's a mitzvah. And we dance to the extent that we learn the lesson of Shivas V'tamas and the 3 weeks and the 9 days and Tisha B'Av, that we hear the Baskol. And this is the time when Hashem is saying, the Baskol is stronger than ever. And the Rabbanu Shlomo is very close to us during the 3 weeks. The Rabbanu Shlomo is talking Golus with us. And because this is the depths of the Golus, the Melech, the Rabbanu Shlomo, the father, leaves his palace and he's looking after us away from his table during the 3 weeks. The best time to return to the Rabbanu Shlomo, the closest time, is during the Dry Vachim, very close. HaMelech Vesadeh, the Rabbanu Shlomo is in the field looking after us. So we have Tsar on the one hand, that the king Nebuch, because of us, the father has to go leave his throne and look for us. But on the other hand, we have a Galatia Simcha, because the Tata is with us. We're not at his table yet, but he came to our table. We're not at his table yet. His table hasn't been rebuilt, the Beis HaMikdash. There's still a mosque over there. But the Rebbeinu Shlom is looking after us, he's at our table. So the Helig Alechevich, or I believe it was him, who would dance on Tisha B'Av saying, it's not a mitzvah to mourn, but a mitzvah has to be done with Simcha, especially this one. Because it means the Rebbeinu Shlom still cares about us, and whoever is Mesabel, Chazal, promise us, call him Mesabel, Al Churban, Yushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, will be Zaycha, to be Raya, B'Simchasa, will be Zaycha, to see the Simcha of the rebuilt Yushalayim, B'Mehev Yamein, the Bekarev, this year, Tisha B'Av should be transformed into a Mayed and a Yom Tov. Amen.